Good evening. I hope everyone's doing well. It is great to hear conversations going on before we start. So, but just want to welcome everyone here. Welcome everyone that's joining us online. Also want to remind those online, if you're watching, you can go to our website and our Bible study notes are available on our website also every week under our news section on our front page. So you can look at and follow along with that. But I'm going to ask Doug if he wouldn't mind opening us in prayer tonight as we begin our time of Bible study.
Open hearts and open ears and open mind about what we hear and what we learn from you. And be with all of us. These things I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We are going to finish chapter 6 tonight, or at least that's the goal. So we are going to pick up in verse 16 of chapter 6 of Daniel. But here's my question. Who can give me a recap of what has happened so far in chapter 6 of Daniel? What's the story going on? What's the Bible story that's happening right now? Daniel in the lion's den. That's correct. That's right. And how did the proclamation that Darius made come about that threatened to put Daniel in the lion's den? How did it come about? Yes. The other governors, the other government officials went to him and started as a lie. I mean, they started out with a lie, because Daniel was one of the three governors, and he said, all the governors are in agreement. Well, who was not included in that? Daniel. So two governors and all the other people came together, and they wanted to trap Daniel because they couldn't find any fault in him. And so they played on Darius's vanity. They said, for a period of 30 days, if anybody prays or seeks or petitions anyone else, God or man, other than you, King Darius, they will be put to death in the lion's den. They'll be thrown into the lion's den. Darius was saying, hey, that sounds good to me, and he signed it. Now, what is it about the laws of the Medes and Persians? Once the king signs a law or a decree, what happens to that? Not even by the king that made it. It could not be changed. It was ironclad. Once it was signed, there was nothing anybody could do about it. So these men went out and waited for Daniel to do what was his custom, his customary thing to do, which was to pray three times a day. Did Daniel go out in public and make a public spectacle? No. Daniel went back to his house, went to his upper room, opened the window that faced Jerusalem, and he knelt and prayed. And they went, ha ha, we got him. Went back to the king, told him, this Daniel, one of the captives of Judah, he's doing this. And as soon as they said Daniel's name, what does the Bible say Darius did? It said that he was upset. King James Version says it differently, but basically, he was upset with himself because he knew at that moment that he had been played. He had been tricked. And it says that from that point to the evening, He tried to figure out a way to save Daniel. And when he couldn't, he told Daniel, "May your God save you." Well, actually, he's getting ready to say that. He doesn't say that yet, but he's getting ready to. Okay, so we're caught up at this point. Why did he labor until sundown or to the evening? That was typically when the sentence of execution or punishment was carried out, was at sundown. Okay, so let's pick up in verse 16. We're going to look at first at verses 16 through 18. It says, "Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you.' A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would change in regard to Daniel. Then the king went off to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him." Darius did not have faith in God, but he knew Daniel did. And he knew the type of man Daniel was. Darius had faith in what God could do for Daniel. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not. Did Darius know God as his God? No, he didn't. But Darius had heard stories. He had worked with Daniel. He knew that Daniel believed and followed Yahweh. And he believed in Daniel's faith. He had faith in Daniel's faith. And here Darius, what he's telling, he says, "I've tried my best to save you, and I can't. May your God do what I couldn't do." Now let me ask you a question. How many times in our lives do we try and try and try to fix things or do things, and we continually come up short? But who never comes up short? God. Now, here's my question. Why don't we, what is it about us that keeps us from just trusting God in the first place instead of trying to take care of it ourselves? Yeah. I mean, that's a deep question if you really think about it. What is it about human beings? We read and look. It's easy for us to read the Old Testament and look at Israel and the struggles that they went through, and literally the history of Israel is like they followed God. They get to a certain point, they start complaining and they start walking away, and then God does something to get their attention again and bring them back up. And they you know, time after time, they have been defeated, captured, put in bondage. A trip that should have taken 8 to 10 days took them 40 years. Walking around in circles. What is it about us that makes us not trust God at the beginning and try to do it ourselves. Yes, sir.
It's not anything to do with us, but something else trying to take God out.
Yeah.
Just like he signed the decree, and the decree is you can't talk about God, or you can't have your God. So there's something else trying to take God out of us.
Yeah.
And we don't do anything for ourselves, but God back in us.
Well, that goes back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. With Adam or with Eve, the serpent, Satan, he beguiled and he sweet-talked Eve. And because she went and took it to Adam and Adam gave in, sin entered into the world. It's because of sin that all this is happening. Sin is what the sin in our lives, sin, and it's what sin is saying my way, not God's way. Ultimately, that's what sin is. And it's sin in our lives that keeps this from happening. That we, and you're right. It's Satan attacking us constantly. No, and that's what I was getting ready to say. Sometimes it's God putting stuff in our way to teach us a lesson. Sometimes too. Yeah, it's the sin. Yeah.
You know, we do that, you know. And God's very clear. He says, no, that's not what I'm saying. And we look at something and then it's shiny and it's pretty. It smells good. It tastes good. All those things. And it makes us look. You look at it and you want it. And it might be good, but God says no. But like a 2-year-old,
I got to tell you something. I got myself in trouble with a parent one time because their kid heard part of my Bible study and ran home and told their mom, and the mom got upset with me because this is what their kid said. Artie said sin was fun. I said, did they tell you the rest of it? No, that was enough. I'm like, no, it's not. Sin is fun. It is attractive. Or else no one would do it. But here's the thing. It is just like that bait you put on a mousetrap. If that bait was not attractive to the mouse, would you ever catch anything? So Satan puts the most attractive thing, and he knows what that is for you. He knows what that is for me. It's not the same for us, all of us. Someone's bait, what they struggle with, it may be alcohol, it may be drugs, it may be women, it may be men, it may be pornography, it may be money. He's going to throw what is our weakest thing. What is it that we struggle with? He's going to throw that at us. And it's going to look so good. And what we don't realize is that when we are getting involved in that and we're going to that, we don't see that trap. And here is something that we have to realize about sin. And I'm chasing a rabbit, but just bear with me. What you don't realize about sin and what we have to teach people about sin is that sin will always take you where you do not want to go. It will cost you more than what you were willing to pay, and it will keep you longer than you want to stay. Every time. It doesn't matter. You may think it's just a little bitty sin. You know how many marriages are broken up because of one little bitty sin? How many lives are lost because of one little sin? It doesn't matter how big the bait is. It's always the same. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. It doesn't say only the big sin, the wages of the big sins are death. It says the wages of sin. Anything that is saying my way and not God's way is sin. And what is that middle letter of sin? I. What I want. That's sin. Okay? So that's my rabbit chasing. But let's get back to here. He's basically telling Daniel, I've done everything I can do. I can't do anything else. I can't do anything else. So let's look. Hopefully your God can take care of this. And here's, oh, think of what a testimony this is for Daniel that the king says this about him. The God whom you constantly serve. Daniel's reputation was of constant service to God. And the king knew that about him. Does our family, do our friends, do our co-workers, do our neighbors know by the way we live our lives that we are constantly serving God? And here's the one thing. I actually sent this to Kel and Dan earlier this week on Monday. It says the king sealed it with his signet, his own signet ring and the signet ring of the neighbor of his nobles. And look what it says. A stone was brought and laid, on verse 17, a stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. My entire life, I saw this similar, well, it's actually the same exact thing. When the stone was rolled in front of the tomb for Jesus and it was sealed with the ring. Why? It's the same exact thing. This was for Daniel's protection. Now you think about this. Even though Darius was not a follower of God, Jehovah, by putting his seal on this thing and having it sealed up, it kept any one of these men that were conniving and conspiring against Daniel to have the opportunity to kill him during the night while he was in the lion's den in case God was protecting him from the lions. It also sealed him up so that God was able to do something miraculous, not only in the life of Daniel, but also to show Darius who he was. I always thought that it was to keep Daniel from getting out. It's so nobody would mess with it. Can I share something with you? Daniel's faith was so strong in God, he didn't want to get out. He didn't want to go anywhere because he was where God wanted him to be. That is a lesson that we all need to learn. There are going to be times in our lives that it gets hard. It gets difficult. And we may be faced with something that is enough to crush you. But we have to realize something. If we are trusting God and we're living for Him and we are totally surrendered to Him, He is going to be there with us and He is going to put us where He wants us to be, and He's going to be there with us to go through it all. So do you think as they lowered Daniel into the lion's den and they closed that stone on top and they sealed it, do you think he was scared? No. I can't say that he knew what God was going to do. But what I can say is that he knew God was going to do something. Remember what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar? Our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't save us, we're still not going to turn our backs on him and follow something else. We're not going to bend our knee to you. Even if. That's the way they lived their lives. That's the way Daniel lived his life. I'm going to follow God. And even if it costs me my life, I'm still going to do it. You remember I told you when we were going through on a Sunday morning, we were going through the seven churches and the, and I can't remember what church it was, but their leader, his name was Polycarp. And Polycarp was, he was an old man. And he had a death sentence, a death warrant put out for him. And his church members begged him and convinced him to go hide at a farm out of town to avoid being captured. And he did. Well, they found out where he was. The Roman government found out where he was. And they sent a squad of soldiers to arrest him and bring him in. The soldiers, when they got there, they were expecting, because this was a death warrant, they were not expecting this old man. They were expecting some hulk to come out that it was going to take the entire squad to capture. Polycarp just said, okay, I'm ready to go. And they had to march back to the city with this old man riding on a donkey until the captain of the squad got tired of listening to him witness to them all and took his donkey away and made him walk the rest of the way. But they took him into the arena, and by the time they got back to the arena, because all the Christians that they were gathering up had been persecuted. The lions had already killed all of them. They'd put the wild animals up. And what they did, they gave him a chance to recant and to bend the knee to Caesar, and he refused. He said, I have followed my God and my Savior all these years, and I can't see stopping now, is what he said. And he stood there while they built a pile of wood and tied him to the stake and began to burn him alive. The story goes that one of those soldiers that brought him in was so moved by his witness and testimony of what he was willing to die for that he bent a knee and prayed to accept Christ right now, right then, and told them to burn him alongside of Polycarp. That's the type of life Daniel lived. That's how sure he was in his God. Now look at this. It says that Darius his sleep led him. He didn't sleep that night. You guys ever had something that was so bothersome to you that you were up all night long? You tossed and turned. You couldn't sleep. And I can imagine, he said, I don't want any food. I don't want anybody coming in here trying to entertain me. I want everybody to leave me alone. And he just paced the floor. all night long. So look at verses 19 through 23. It says, then the king arose at dawn. That would not have been hard for him if he wasn't sleeping. He was probably the first one, as soon as he saw a peak of the sun, he was down there at Daniel. It says, then the king rose at dawn at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near to the den, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king. O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den, so that Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injuries whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Can you imagine this scene? Here is King Darius running down. He's yelling. He's, Daniel, are you still alive? Was God able to save you? And then he hears Daniel yelling back to him from the lion's den. I'm still here. I can imagine Andy Griffith, you know, telling this story. I'm still chair. I'm right here. You know, I can see that. Oh, it would be so amazing. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, it's similar to what we talked about on a Sunday morning, that there's two words in the Greek language, and I know this is not Greek, that for true and not false, and true and not fake. And I think, and I've not learned this living, the word living in Hebrew yet, so I don't know exactly the connotations that go along with that. I know king, the living God. And he's starting, and you know, I don't think there's a record in Daniel of Darius ever coming to a point like Nebuchadnezzar did, where he humbled himself before God. But he does recognize at this point that there is something different about Daniel's God. Okay, and we'll see that here in a little bit, that it still considers this to be Daniel's God, not his God, or not Yahweh. But here, there are a couple of things here. That he cries out and he says an angel. Doesn't say that Daniel saw the angel, and it doesn't say the angel of the Lord. It says God sent his angel. Okay? So this is not according to what we've told you before, that anytime you see the angel of the Lord, it's referring to Jesus. This is an angel, or sent his angel. So probably not Jesus, but it is definitely one of God's angels, one of his warriors that he sent to shut these lions' mouths. And notice, it said that King Darius cried out with a troubled voice, yelling to Daniel. But what does it say? How did Daniel respond? Does it say he cried out back to him? It just said he spoke to the king. He just spoke. I've told you this many times. The entire time I was growing up, I the picture in my head is Daniel got one of those big lions and made him a pillow for the night. I mean, God could do that, can't he? And then he tells him, he said, God found me guiltless, and I've not committed any crime towards you either. So King Darius has him pulled up, and said that there was no marks on him, no injuries, because he had trusted God. Now look at verse 24. He says, the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children and their wives, into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. That would have not been a pretty sight. But remember what we talked about the laws of the Medes and Persians. If you were guilty of breaking a law, it wasn't just punishment for the person that broke the law, but their entire family was punished. Can you imagine if we did that today? That if someone that broke a law, not only them, but their entire family was punished? You think that may cut down on some of the stuff that we have to deal with? Yeah, a lot. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not advocating that, but it would cause a lot less problems. For as far as that goes, it could cause other problems, just as this did. But it says, before they reached the bottom. And you guys realize that these lions that they kept for this purpose, they weren't fed on a regular basis so that they would kill the people that were given to them. You know, we've got animals at our house, and we have to feed one of them other animals. And if it's not hungry, guess what? It don't eat. And we have to take what we try to give it out. But when it's hungry, boy, you know it. It don't take long at all. These lions were hungry lions. How much bigger does that make that miracle that God did by shutting their mouths? But when he opened them, they did what they were meant to do. Before they even reached the ground. Look at verses 25 through 28. Darius's decrees. Then Darius the king wrote to all the people, and this is where we're talking about, Doug, about he's still looking at. Darius the king wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I have a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of who? Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs, wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Here, listen. This is a perfect example of knowing who God is, but not knowing him on a personal level. Darius recognizes who God is. Listen, for he is the living God, enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. That could be found in Psalms, couldn't it? That could be found anywhere in the Old Testament. His mercy endures forever. His kingdom will endure forever. These are praises that are going to God. But that doesn't negate who he claims God is at the very top. He doesn't say the God Most High like Nebuchadnezzar did. He still sees him as being Daniel's God. Now he says how great he is, but it's still Daniel's God, not my God. That's the difference between what you see in the Psalms. A lot of times in the Psalms you see my God, the God of heaven, Jehovah. You don't see that here with Darius. Now it says that Daniel continues to enjoy success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Look at right here, this last point. It says this is the last link in a long chain set through this chapter. We can see Daniel progressing along this path. Plotted against, what did he do next after he was plotted against? Prayed. Then praising. Then persistently serving. Then persecuted, protected, preserved, preferred, and prospered. Those are things that we can see. And listen, even within the life of the church, throughout history, the church seems to grow the most, prosper the most, when the church, the members of the church, truly have to surrender and trust God to take care of them because they are facing persecution. You guys realize how Christianity spread. The Jews that accepted Christ, you remember, why did Saul go out looking for Christians? He had to get orders to go to another place. Why? Because persecution drove them out. And when they went out, when they dispersed, they took the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And everywhere they went, churches sprung up because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the largest churches in the world. Do you guys know where it is? In communist China. The largest church in the world is in South Korea. But it is a multinational church. But in communist China, in Muslim countries, where they worship God at the risk of their own life, that's where the churches are growing because it costs them something. And I'm going to tell you the truth. They do not understand American churches because we have become spoiled. It doesn't cost us anything to worship Christ. When is the last time that there's been somebody follows you to see if you're going to church or not? When is the last time that your children were taken away because you were worshiping Christ. It is those places. That's what we see, that but God is protecting them. He's preserving them. Yes, some of them are losing their lives. Daniel was willing to lay down his life, wasn't he? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were willing to lay down their lives. Are we willing to lay down our life for our Savior? That's my question. That's the end of chapter 6. Next week, we will pick up in chapter 7. But I'd ask you any questions or comments about this before we go into our time of prayer. And I apologize going a little long. I got a little carried away. Okay.
And both of the definitions are masculine, singular, determining.
I think that would be Elohi. And then I could be mistaken. I'd have to look at it. Anybody else have anything? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and close out the time, and then we'll have our prayer time. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us. I just ask you to continue to bless us. Dear Lord, thank you for setting the example through Daniel of what it means to live a life consistently serving you. Help us to be that strong. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.